all across America and around the world. This is Veterans Radio.
This is Veterans Radio.
Welcome to Veterans Radio. I am Jim Fossone with VeteransRadio.net. We are recording today from the Legal Help for Veterans studio in Northville, Michigan. Legal Help for Veterans is a veterans disability law firm. You can reach it at 800-693-4800. On Veterans Radio today, our guest is Daniel C. Sullivan, Strategy and Communications Liaison for Burn Pits 360. Dan, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Thanks, Jim. I'm glad to be here and glad to be able to speak on behalf of Burn Pits 360 today.
Well, we want to bring to our listeners topics that are of interest to veterans, their friends, and their family members, and certainly one that for Iraq and Afghanistan veterans hasn't received much attention and really should is this whole issue of exposure to burn pits. But why don't we start, Dan? Tell us what burn pits are and the concerns related to them.
Sure. So burn pits essentially, as I understand it, were meant to be a temporary trash refuse disposal method on military bases at the beginning of the Iraq and Afghanistan wars. They were developed as an expedient way of getting rid of the abundant refuse of military conflict at the early stages of the war, because there were no other alternatives. The directive, as I understand it, again, was that these, because of the health risks known by the Environmental Protection Agency and other medical authorities, there are, because of the known health risks of burning trash in an open pit, you know, it's illegal to do that pretty much everywhere in the mainland United States. Because of these health risks, they were going to replace these pits with safer incinerators. But unfortunately, it appears that this did not happen very quickly, and there are likely still burn pits burning right now. So burn pits basically are large pits. When we talk about them, we're generally talking about pits on military bases, but the fact of the matter is that I understand it that trash burning is also fairly prevalent in open pits by the populations of Iraq and Afghanistan as well. Everyone burns trash. And we're also talking about, trash could be burned in a big container. The term burn pit is kind of like a starting point of exposure. But the classic burn pit is a large pit on a military base like Balad, in which substances are burned that produce toxins that are known to be hazardous to human health,
And these are I've seen a list of known burn pit locations, and there are, this isn't one or two. This is 100 or more of these at everything from pretty well known camps in Iraq or Afghanistan, to forward operating bases, to the Baghdad International Airport. I mean, it was prevalent all over the theater in Iraq and Afghanistan, if I understand it right.
That's my understanding as well. And there is actually a document that military personnel fill out on the way back from deployment called Post-Deployment Health Questionnaire. And on that document, you can mark whether or not you are exposed to burning trash. I don't know that anyone ever looks at this document after it's completed, but I know of it because my brother was a Marine. He was deployed to Iraq. He marked that he was exposed to burning trash, and he was dead of illness 4 years after he returned from Iraq. No one ever discussed the health risks of burning trash with him. Well, or looked at that document.
Well, yeah. And again, we thank you for your family's sacrifice as a Gold Star family. here with your brother. One of the things I think it's somewhat misleading on when we just say it's burning trash in open pits is that we here in the United States might have, well, you're talking leaves and cardboard and
sure.
stuff, but tell us a little bit about what was thrown into these pits to have burned and the incomplete combustion of those materials.
Right. So I guess the part of the problem we have is that we know what was thrown in the pits and we don't know what was thrown in the pits because so much was thrown in them and there was really no control over what was being thrown in them. But essentially, but my understanding is there were body parts thrown in there, plastics, munitions, metals, it just basically anything could have been thrown in there. When you look at the examining, I think what's most important from my perspective, and I think from the medical perspective, is what's coming out of it versus what's going into it. You know, the stuff thrown into it can sound very disgusting. What's really important is what is coming out of it. And when you look at the list of chemicals produced by the burn pits in the, there's a document that was produced by the Institute of Medicine, now known as the National Academies of Science, called the Long-Term Health Effects of Burn Pits in Iraq and Afghanistan. And you can read the entire thing. The long-term health consequences of exposure to burn pits in Iraq and Afghanistan. You can read the whole document online at nationalacademies.org. And there's a chapter in there that describes the chemicals that came out of the Balad burn pit and the diseases associated with those chemicals. One of them is dioxin, the same chemical which was the leading cause of the problems associated with Agent Orange in the Vietnam War. So we're talking about some serious exposures that were occurring. And some seriously deadly chemicals coming out of these pits so that we know were coming out of.
So this is a, I think most veterans would say, a serious health concern. How has VA approached the handling of exposure to the plumes of smoke that a military member might be exposed to? Or how do they view it?
Well, the VA's approach is difficult to characterize, because the VA is such a large entity and there are so many different, pieces of it that different pieces of it will address the issue in different ways. I think from a public health perspective, the VA has not fulfilled its obligation under the Burn Pit Registry Act to have a large public health information campaign in which it's supposed to disseminate to veterans information about the health risks of burn pits. And if you look at the VA's website, you can see that they have done multiple press releases about post-traumatic stress disorder and absolutely zero press releases on burn pits and the Burn Pit Health Registry. So to me, that does not seem like the public health component of the law is being followed, or that the VA's communications department is communicating what the scientific divisions of the VA know. In other words, there is data that the VA has collected in various portions of the VA and will share with certain individuals like me or Rosie Torres, the executive director of Burn Pits 360, about the health risks of burn pits, about actual people that they have diagnosed as having burn pit related illnesses. But this information is being held within certain divisions of the VA and it's not being widely publicized. The other element of this is that I have heard that it is very difficult to access benefits related to burn pit exposures at this time because there is no service connected presumption. So we don't know the exact rate of the denial of the claims. That's something we're trying to figure out. But basically the VA's, I think if you were to sum it up as a whole, that there are things like places within the VA, such as the War-Related Illness and Injury Study Centers, which are aware of burn pits and which, if you can get to them, will probably diagnose you with a burn pit-related illness if you have one. But in order to actually even know that these facilities exist would take a fair amount of digging, because people within the VA itself don't even know that there are war-related illness and injury study centers. These were created as a result of the Persian Gulf War of 1991 and legislation related to the illnesses that veterans got after that war. So really what we're seeing here is a continuum of a lack of a robust response to environmental and occupational illnesses following deployment. I think that's the best way that I can characterize what's happening at the VA.
I think you're right, Dan. We're talking to Dan Sullivan, who's the strategy and communications liaison for Burn Pits 360. In our experience here, in talking to veterans, the medical nexus between, hey, I was exposed to burn pit smoke for the 12 months I was over there, and this is the disease I have, because there isn't a presumption, it's almost impossible to make that correlation, because you don't have data of what was really coming out of the pit. We don't have data of what was thrown in the pit. So it's a very challenging issue on an individual-by-individual veteran basis, which brings us back to Burn Pits 360 as an organization. Tell us a little bit about what the advocacy is that you're doing in that organization.
Sure. So Burn Pits 360 was developed initially as an independent registry of where veterans and family members of veterans, of deceased veterans, could register exposure to burn pits on an independent registry, because there was no, at the time Burn Pits 360 was founded, there was no VA registry. There was no federal registry. There were no state or local registries. So it was essentially the first registry, and it still exists and still as a registry and still collects information, which is analyzed by independent scientists, and collects data that the VA doesn't collect. And we're advocating actually for the development of state registries that collect data that the VA registry does not collect, such as deaths and certain illnesses and diseases that we know are associated with the chemicals that were found in burn pits, but which the VA is not collecting in the current registry. Burn Pits 360, it starts with the exposure of the burn pit itself. The term 360 is meant to refer to essentially the widening circle, the circle of exposures, of toxic exposures around the burn pit, our ever increasing knowledge of the multiple exposures that service members experience while deployed, particularly in the Iraq and Afghanistan region, and how these the interplay of the multiple exposures can create complex environmental and occupational illnesses. And we're working with within our own organization and with other organizations such as Amnesty International USA to essentially brief policymakers and decision makers at the local, state, and federal level about the nature of these exposures and the existence of environmental and occupational illnesses that result from these exposures, that these are simply scientific facts and medical facts that have been mischaracterized by the VA starting in 1991, essentially, as unexplained symptoms or Gulf War syndromes or whatever they came up with from a communications perspective. What we're actually talking about here is widely understood and well recognized within the medical community on mainland United States as occupational and environmental illnesses and occupational environmental medicine. And then the benefits that, as a grateful nation, we owe to our veterans who have occupational environmental illnesses, we are advocating that that the law be followed and that the benefits be provided to veterans for their service.
So the pressure sort of built on VA, and they finally, in only 3 short years ago, in June of 2014, opened their airborne hazards and open burn pit registry for veterans and service members. And one of the things you can go register on that at VA, and part of that was they also then were supposed to take that data and see if there were any conclusions that could be drawn. And the National Academy of Science in February of 2017 looked at the data and came to some conclusions. Can you tell us about its the conclusions?
Sure. The National Academy came up with some very good recommendations on improving the registry. I would say that the bulk of the report involves recommendations that are fairly consistent with recommendations made by advocacy groups for improvement of the registry, improvement of dissemination of knowledge about the registry. There is a slight problem, however, though, that one of the recommendations kind of invalidates all of the other recommendations, which is essentially, it's less of a recommendation and more of a, no, it is a recommendation. I think it recommended that the VA communicate that essentially the registry data being collected is of limited use from a scientific
I read this and I sort of went, well, why did you do it then? Because you knew it. The objection, listeners to Veterans Radio, and we're talking to Dan Sullivan, Strategy and Communications Liaison for Burn Pits 360. The National Academy said, well, that 2014 registry was nice, but since it relies on voluntary participation and self-reported information, it makes it fundamentally unsuitable for addressing the question of whether burn pit exposure results in health problems. Well, that was
right.
a whole lot of nothing.
Yeah, but the statement coming from the National Academy of Science is just simply dead wrong. I mean, if you look at the actual science of environmental health registries, which you can, if you search PubMed environmental health registries, and you can read the abstracts of environmental and occupational medicine specialists that say very clearly that environmental health registries in various contexts are important, and especially one of the key elements of this registry wasn't just to collect data, it's also to serve as a communication tool where the VA is supposed to be communicating, using the registry to communicate to veterans what the known health risks of exposure to the chemicals known to be having been emitted from burn pits are, so that they can be, so that vets can go to the doctor, get pre-screened, get a special, there's actually a special evaluation that the VA claims to offer, which apparently it doesn't actually offer, to evaluate a person for lung illnesses and other illnesses. No, it's called a burn pit registry health evaluation. So what the Academy was saying was essentially that from an epidemiology perspective, the registry is of limited use. Okay, well, that's probably true because it's not an epidemiological instrument. It is what it is. It's a registry, and it is useful as a registry. I think the wording of that, I'm not sure exactly where it makes it sound like they're saying it's really of no use. What they're really saying is kind of a little twisted. It's not of use in a certain type of science. But there's a lot of people out there that say that environmental health registries are useful from a clinical perspective, or useful for helping determine future epidemiology.
Well, as you mentioned, Dan, and I think this is important for our listeners to understand, if they were exposed to burn pits smoke, and they are not on the registry, you should be on the registry because it's a communication tool. In the future, hopefully VA will be using it as a communication tool to reach out to you because you've identified yourself as such. There are about 64,000 veterans on the registry. So, you know, it's a pretty big pool to begin with, but there's many more people who haven't even heard that they should register, and maybe the registry won't make this medical nexus issue or epidemiology, can hardly say that word, connection at the moment, but it should be used in the future as a communication tool, it would seem.
Right. Well, it could be, whether or not it actually will. My understanding, I've asked a number of vets who are registered whether they've ever received a communication from the VA, and they've all said no. So I guess it's not being used in the way that the law says it's supposed to be used. If the VA spent over $1 million, according to its own statements, developing the technology for the burn pit registry, which, as I understand it, is actually horrible, and it's like takes people forever to complete because it keeps crashing. They said they were going to spend $1.something million on that, and $70,000 on education, the public information campaign. So that kind of pretty much sums up where the VA is on implementing the awareness. Telling people that this thing exists. Most of the money went into developing technology that doesn't work very well, and very little money went into telling people about the registry and that it exists.
I know you spend time keeping track of what Congress is doing. Dan Sullivan, Strategy and Communications Liaison for Burn Pits 360. Can you tell us, is Congress still working on this issue of getting it right for veterans who were exposed to burn pit toxic exposures?
I think that Congress is working on the issue, and actually Burn Pits 360 in association with Amnesty International USA is planning, we hope relatively soon, to do a congressional briefing so that we can to have a congressional briefing on this issue so that more members of Congress are aware of what's actually going on. There are bills being proposed to develop special treatment centers for burn pit. I think it's called the Helping Veterans Exposed to Toxic Chemicals Act. It's been on the table now for a few years. But in terms of accountability, in terms of Congress holding the VA accountable for following the laws that are passed to help veterans, I'm not sure that that's going on right now. Because if Congress was holding the VA accountable for following, for example, just the first burn pit registry law, then you would think that there would be some more in public information, education, and outreach going on.
So Dan, if as we come to the end of our segment, if people want to be more involved on this issue, more educated on this issue, how do they stay in touch with Burn Pits 360, and where do you direct them? What recommendations do you have?
Sure. Well, we have our primary resource right now is our website, which is www.burnpits360.org. Now, this website has a lot of, there are a lot of resources on the website that veterans can use in order to get a sense of the known health effects of burn pit, of exposure to burn pits, and some documents produced by the VA itself on those known health effects. Okay, and our website was developed by a while ago, and I have good news, which is that we have a very generous donor who is going to construct for us within the next few months an entirely new website, which will be even more useful and have even more resources. So I would say that the best way to get in touch and stay connected with Burn Pits 360 is to go to the website, join our Facebook page, which is I think you can find that just by typing burnpits360.org. Join our mailing list which would be you can get to through our Facebook page, so you get our newsletter. And we are trying to get more people engaged in writing letters to Congress about what in directly telling their stories publicly, so that we can get the public as a whole to understand what's going on in terms of the these exposures and the illnesses related to them, so that we can get Congress to understand and act, and so that we can have a collaboration with the VA and the DOD, so that we can all kind of come together, the lawyers, the doctors, the government officials, the policymakers, and actually create that safety net, which as a society we want to have there for our heroes as they return.
Well, I want to end with a quote that I see that Rosie Torres, the founder of Burn Pits 360, has said, which is, quote, "We need a medical screening process in place now, not in 20 years, end of the quote. And I think that really sums it up. Let's not repeat the mistakes of the past. Dan Sullivan, right. Thank you for spending some time with Veterans Radio today to get the message out. I am Jim Fossone. Thank you for listening to Veterans Radio today. It's really been a pleasure to be your host and bring you this topic. I'm a veterans disability lawyer at Legal Help for Veterans, and you can reach us at 800-693-4800 or legalhelpforveterans.com on the web. You can follow Veterans Radio on Facebook and listen to our podcasts and internet radio shows at veteransradio.net. And until next time, you are dismissed.
If you have a VA claim denied by the Board of Veterans Appeals, contact Legal Help for Veterans at 1-800-693-4800. They're experts in handling cases before the U.S. Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims. Their number again, 1-800-693-4800.